From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Can you hand me that, please?
What?
Not that side, this side. To the left. Go to the left. To the left. To the left.
Oh, my God.
What? Just hand me. Just
you know,
me.
Anytime I hear Beyonce left, Irreplaceable, reminds me of that clip that went viral. Actually, it keeps going viral every few years of those women on a morning television show in South Africa singing Irreplaceable by Beyonce. Do you remember this?
To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in a box, to the left. In the closet, that's my stuff. Yes, if I bought it, say, don't touch.
Don't touch.
Keep getting it, miss, that's fine. Would you walk and talk at the same timing?
Line
it is my land that is on that max. So remove your bag so I can call you a cab.
I'm standing in the yard, see, and he's telling me how I'm such a fool. He's talking about I will never ever find a bra like him. Yo, I was lekker op zijn kop gevallen.
You must know about me.
Every now and then, I think because I watch this video so much, like on Instagram, every now and then on my explore page, like the video keeps reappearing.
They roll a hard R, huh?
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Holy.
At the beginning?
Oh, I guess it's the L. They roll the L.
So you say, Tora left.
Tora left, Tora left. Everything you own in a box, Tora left. In the closet, that's my stuff. Yes, if I bought it, say,
don't touch.
That's fine. Could you walk and talk at the same timing?
Anyway.
You never know you're gonna go get famous from something like this, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know. I guess you never know in that moment that this is gonna be the thing.
Or for somebody like Beyonce to know that your song is gonna make so much of an impact that it changes the perception of that one song.
Oh my God, I still can't hear that one girl who keeps freaking out over I Will Always Love You. Like anytime I hear I Will Always Love You, I only hear that poor girl back in the day who was sitting in her bedroom just filming herself on her computer and just screwing up.
And I and I will always love you.
Yo, hold on a second.
Frustration.
Hold on a second. You know what? Seeing the way Maria's like losing her mind right now, if the math works out, is this a younger Maria? Like, is this you? Like, we know you sing it every day. Is this you as a kid, Maria?
They're probably the same age now. Right?
I remember being in, like, I'm pretty sure elementary school when I saw that video come out, and I resonated with that girl.
Let me try again.
Well, no, I can do this. Don't. And,
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Everybody here know who Shannon Sharpe is?
Yep. No.
NFL Hall of Famer. Played 14 seasons with the Broncos. He's the guy that you see on social now all the time with Stephen A. Smith.
Yes,
he's on ESPN.
Yes, yes, yes.
On a show called First Take. He's got his own podcast called Club Shay Shay.
Club Shay Shay. I want to go to Club Shay Shay, man.
It's a good podcast.
Is it?
Yeah. Maria, if you Google him, you'll know what he looks like. He was the guy that was at a basketball game last season and like got into some sort of scuffle. And he's like so swole, muscly. And he was like looking back at the person behind him. And that turned into a meme.
Oh, I know who this guy is.
I have okay. no idea.
He's got another podcast, this guy.
Two?
Shannon Sharp, yeah.
Podcast
called Nightcap with Chad Ochocinco. Oh, another yeah. former pro football player. He actually played for one season, only five games,
mm-hmm.
for the Grey Cup champion Montreal Alouettes.
Really, huh?
2014-2015 season. Okay, so now that we know who these guys are, Shannon Sharp, very fit, very much about his appearance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
Athlete. We all know in this room, on this show, Shem, executive producer of the Roz and Mocha Show, has got the white teeth, takes care of his teeth, cares about his teeth. That's... But Shem, you have nothing, absolutely nothing on Shannon Sharp. Listen to what he said on his podcast about how many times a day he brushes his teeth.
I go through a tube of toothpaste a week.
Damn, a week?
A week. I brush my teeth on average about somewhere between 7 and 10 times a day.
God damn.
I brush my teeth 2 times before I leave the house in the morning to go to do first take.
What?
I brush my teeth before I go down and eat breakfast. I go back upstairs and brush my teeth again. I get to work, I go to the bathroom and brush my teeth again. So I brush my teeth 3 times before I go on air.
Man.
I come home, I eat, I brush my teeth again. I'll take a 30-minute nap. I get up. I'll brush my teeth before I go to the gym.
You're going,
I come home.
You don't
eat
much.
I'll brush my teeth again.
That's enough goddamn brushing. That goddamn. How many goddamn toothbrushes you go through, Nat?
I change my toothbrush every 2 weeks.
What? You know how much toothbrushes cost? You talking about you go through it every 2 weeks?
I do. You know your boy.
You gotta be kidding me.
A tube of
toothpaste? You gotta be kidding me.
A week? And every other week, he's changing his toothbrush because he's brushing 7 to 10 times
That's
a day.
Mental.
Does he have halitosis or something? That's crazy.
Is that actually good for you, though?
To brush your teeth that much? I can't imagine it being that good.
It has to be hard on the gums.
You'll recede your gum lines.
Well, plus the enamel.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that... Does he have beautiful teeth, though?
He does.
They look nice.
His teeth are gorgeous.
Maybe I just started brushing my teeth. Okay.
And Lily Shem is so envious.
Immaculate.
Now you gotta
look at the man's teeth here. Hold on. Shannon Sharp teeth, right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Or just look, just Shannon Sharp's smile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's hell.
They're stunning.
Come on now.
Perfect.
I want to touch them.
Holy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Dammits went to the Mariah Carey Merry Christmas One and All concert last night.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
It was awesome.
Was it? Was it the same as last year?
No, different set, everything. It
really?
Was obviously some of the same songs and stuff, but really good show.
Nice.
Did you guys go online like as a preview to see what it was you were about to walk into? Or do you like to stay away from all that stuff and just be surprised in the moment?
Matthew watched everything in advance and ruined it.
Of course.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, his whole thing was, I'm not going to watch anything. And then I see him, I'm like, you're watching everything right now.
You guys didn't get like a VIP package or anything like that?
Oh, it didn't come with like a meet and greet, no.
I'll still never forget when you guys went backstage to meet Mariah Carey and they take your picture and then they don't give it to you then, they email it to you. And Maury and Matthew got the picture back and they heavily... filtered and photoshopped Mariah Carey, but not Maury and Matthew. So she looked like an angel, and they look like trolls. It's the greatest thing in the world.
And Matthew's arm was like dislocated because of the way they filtered her.
It's so great.
Memories, right, guys? The Dammits at Mariah's show last night.
Matthew, she came up from the bottom.
Yes, that's new for this show.
She
normally comes out of a present.
She went. It's time. Can we just talk about how great she looks?
She looks amazing. She is skinny.
Oh my god.
She is slay.
Do you like the staging this year?
I don't mind it. Something different. I miss the Christmas tree. Those red sweaters that the dancers are wearing are from H&M.
He knows.
Ring a ding dong ding. You know.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ding-dong-ding.
It's your Old Navy or Gap commercial.
So this is pretty much what it's like the entire show. Like, everyone inside the arena all just singing, dancing, obviously having a good time.
Except for the guy behind me. This old man was like, sit down!
Oh, you guys got yelled at? No. So who said what to who? Like, did you turn around and say something back?
No,
to
it was this old
Matthew?
Man that was talking to, like, the person. And she's like, why are they all standing and dancing? Sit down.
Yeah.
At a concert?
Yeah. Once you hit a certain age, yeah.
But, like, why even go to a show then? Like, you know what's going to happen. You think everyone's just going to, like, sit there and chill?
Yeah.
All your songs.
Held on tight, I never should have let you go.
I want to see
Oh, my God, Matthew, you know this.
The whole world knows this. It's the number one Christmas song on earth.
Yo, Matthew's the best. You went to see what?
I went to see Neil Diamond years ago, and I had floor seats, great seats, like third row.
Yeah.
And I was standing, and like nobody else on the floor was standing. And then somebody, same thing, somebody behind me goes, hey, sit down. And I was just about to turn around and just like lay in because I'm like, bro, like, you know how much I paid for these seats?
Yeah.
Oxygen tank.
Oh, no.
Full, huge on wheels oxygen tank.
So what'd you do, unplug?
No. Yeah, I kicked it over. I was like, here, go get some air, jackass.
Darren Morey talking to fans after the Mariah concert last night.
You were sitting like super close. How cool was that?
It was so amazing. It was everything, and it beat last year. Like, it was so amazing. I enjoyed myself.
Did that put you in the festive spirit?
I was completely in the festive spirit before I got here, and it even put me over the top. It was once in a lifetime, like Queen of Christmas at Christmas.
What do you think of her outfits?
Do you know what? At one point in time, I was like, is that Mariah or the Virgin Mary? It was like, okay. Beautiful.
Okay, you're like full of sweat. Were you dancing? How much did you love that show?
You know what's weird? Because she took us to church, and
yeah?
I needed to get life. She gave me life.
Okay, like, you were front row of the Mariah show. How much fun did you have?
It was f***ing amazing. It was really, really great. I enjoyed the show. She looked stunning. All the ensembles were amazing. And I'm heading to Montreal for the next show.
What were some of your favorite highlights of this show?
Definitely her melody of hits. Anytime she was hitting those whistles. My favorite song is Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. So definitely that one's top of my list.
Did you make eye contact with her at all during the show?
Yes, multiple times. She blew kisses. She waved. It was really, it felt like a personal show, even though we were in such a larger arena.
Okay, how awesome was this Mariah show?
It was amazing. Mariah, she can still hit her high notes, because I know everyone at home is wondering if she can still sing. She can still sing.
She was passionate. I feel like she brought out emotions in us that we needed right now. She brought us together, and the voice, the body, everything amazing.
One highlight from the show for you.
I would say when she did a medley of all her hits. Like, I know it wasn't Christmas, like, but still, it was still iconic, and she sounded amazing, and yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
As soon as we are wrapped up the Roz and Mocha Show today, Maria is heading out on a flight to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. For 2 days. And she's
2 days?
Well, no, technically three.
What do you mean?
And she's taking, doesn't matter how many days, it's okay, let's call it 3 days. But she's taking checked luggage.
Let's not call it anything.
Well, you also count today forward because I need an outfit for when I get there.
Okay. So wait a second, when do you land?
Today.
And then when do you fly home?
Monday night.
Okay. And you're bringing a checked bag?
Yes.
And
jeez.
And hand luggage as well?
No, I brought a duffel this time. I almost brought a carry-on luggage because I almost didn't fit everything in my checked bag.
So in your checked bag for just over 3 days.
Yes.
3 days and a few hours.
Is that just you or is that you and Louis sharing a bag?
It's just me.
Oh, for God's sake.
What is in your checked bag?
Okay. So in my checked bag, I put my clothes. Uh-huh. So I have like 3 pairs of pants, 2 dresses, a skirt, 3 pairs of leggings. And then I have
you want to work a fashion show?
Well, in case I don't like an outfit, I need a backup outfit. And then in case plans change, I need a nicer outfit or a casual outfit. And then I need like 2 outfits a day because I want to change throughout the day.
This is how a master of disguise travels. Right?
Yeah.
But then after that, just the clothes. And then I have like my straightener. And then I have all my makeup, my toiletries, pair of shoes. I have my boots in there.
Yeah.
Shoes and boots.
I have four pairs of shoes.
Four pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then pajamas. What else do I have in there? Yeah, that's it. And then in my carry-on,
yeah,
I have a steamer, my Dyson. Dyson. Two pairs of shoes.
What Dyson do you have?
I have an air app. It's to do my hair.
Okay.
And I have two pairs of shoes.
Okay, wait
more shoes?
Yeah, well, I have four pairs.
You have more shoes than days that you're going to be there.
And well, I have a pair of running shoes. I have a pair of boots. I have a pair of loafers. And then the Uggs I'm wearing right now.
Can you please log while you're there everything that you did wear?
Yes.
To see if you got through it all.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And no BS either. No BS. Like, you can't be trying something on once and then saying you put it on. Like, yeah, actually, like, put it on, wear it out in the world for purpose.
It has to be the outfit. Yeah.
I'll take pictures in all the outfits that I remember.
Yes. But out in the world, like out in the wild, where you're like doing stuff.
Okay.
Very important question.
Yes.
Maria, who's going to New York for 3 hours, or sorry, 3 days and a few hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going with your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you are packing checked luggage. You also have carry-on.
Yes.
Your boyfriend, is he doing checked luggage as well, or is he carry-on only?
So he's only doing a checked bag because he's coming. He's meeting me there, so he's coming from Florida. He's been in Florida for about like 10 days.
Okay.
So that's the only reason. When I told him how much I had, he was like, "What? Why?" And I'm afraid that what if I go shopping now? Where am I going to have room to put things?
I mean, what if? Yes or no?
I'm going shopping.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Start spreading the news.
Bum, ba, da, 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 da.
I'm leaving today.
Bum, ba, da, 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 da.
I want to be part of it.
Woo!
New York, New York.
Yeah. So Maria spent 3 days in New York City.
Da, 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 da.
The Big Apple.
Loved it.
And she left on Friday, right after the show.
Yeah.
3 days, and she took checked luggage and a carry-on.
Checked a bag. And you went through everything that you would need with us, and you had said you had packed, I believe it was four different pairs of shoes.
I have the full list.
Oh, you do? Okay, thank you.
Oh,
thank you. Please.
Maria packed.
3 days.
Okay.
Less than three full days.
Three pairs of pants, three pairs of leggings, two dresses. She said that she needed two outfits a day in case she changes her mind. Also packed makeup, four pairs of shoes, and PJs. That's in the checked bag, right?
Yes.
Carry on. She had her Dyson, two more pairs of shoes, plus a steamer. And also, Maria's station plan, maybe she was like, well, what if I do some shopping?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we had asked you on Friday's show to keep track because nobody in the room thought that you were going to wear every single thing.
Yes.
Like, we were like, an outfit a day, maybe. And you're not going to rock six pairs of shoes.
No. And you had to go out. Where, like, you can't just stand in the hotel room and try clothes on and then take them off. Like, you have to go out in the world.
Yes.
In an outfit.
Yes.
Right. And?
And I wore everything but one dress.
Stop it, Maria. Sakes.
Oh, and I didn't end up wearing my running shoes.
Okay.
Or my Uggs, because I ended up wearing loafers out one night, which is a bad idea, and I had blisters. I was limping through the streets of New York.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to walk anymore. And he's like, no one told you to wear loafers in the city.
What was his reaction to the amount of clothing you brought?
So he's like, why do you have this much? Because then he asked me how much my bag weighed. And he met me in New York because Louis was in Florida prior to coming to New York. And yesterday when we were leaving New York, we put our luggages on the main thing.
Yeah. So again, this is 3 days in New York and your check luggage was how much?
Mine was 35 pounds.
And how much was his?
His was, I think, 38.
And
but
where
he was,
and where was, and where was,
wait,
Louis?
Was gone
wait,
for
wait,
two
and
weeks.
Then, yeah. And where was he before New York?
Florida.
How long?
A week.
Okay.
It's my boots. They were heavy. They weigh like 7 pounds each boot.
The boot that you didn't wear?
I guarantee you, Maria, you don't have 14 pounds of boots.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm
really
made out of
one time I packed those boots with me. I was going to LA and each boot weighed 3 pounds or 5 pounds, whatever it was. They're heavy boots.
Your boots, you don't have 14 pounds of boots,
whatever,
Maria.
They
okay,
were boots.
No, you don't. So did you wear, you wore everything?
Yeah, except one dress I ended up wearing. It was too cold.
Wow. You know, I think I wore... I think I changed my shirt over the weekend.
You think?
Yeah.
Just on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
When you went to Portugal over the summertime, Ross.
Yeah.
Carry on, right?
Carry on.
Uh-huh. And how many outfits did you bring with you? And you guys were there for like a full week, right?
Oh, yeah. In my carry-on, I had a pair of blue jeans, a pair of white jeans, two bathing suits, two pair of shorts, and five linen shirts and three t-shirts.
In a carry-on, Maria!
And two pair of shoes.
See, this is the thing. You didn't travel in the winter. My one sweater took up half my luggage. It was so big.
Bring a coat.
I did. I brought one coat.
You
I
wear the coat
two
on
coats.
The plane.
I almost brought two coats. You, I couldn't
oh
fit the other one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Maria. Like,
check the weather before you go, right?
No, all my outfits, I had the same coat. It was bothering me.
Okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Coming up at 7 o'clock this morning, Maddie Matheson from The Bear. Maddie Matheson plays the maintenance guy. He's funny. He's one of the executive producers on The Bear. And he's also, because he's a chef in real life, famous chef in Toronto, because he's a chef, he's like their go-to guy to make sure everything on The Bear is proper. And what we're seeing happening in the kitchen is stuff that actually happens in the kitchen. So Maddie Matheson from The Bear joins us at 7 this morning. Jeremy Allen White from The Bear plays Carmine. Carmi, yo cousin! He was on he was on Kimmel's show last night.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah, and of course he's got the Iron Claw movie coming out next month.
It's a wrestling movie.
Yeah, it's about the famous Von Erich wrestling family. Also starring Zac Efron. So The Bear, 13 Emmy nominations. Jeremy Allen White, lead actor in a comedy series.
I know. It's and it's such so a weird. I know.
Like, if you watch The Bear, it's like so dramatic. There are funny moments, but I wouldn't classify it as a comedy.
It's not even dark comedy, but
and
it's...
All the nominations are all in the comedy category.
That's the producers, right? And because because it's not a long show, it's not an hour show.
Yeah.
Usually if you're 30 minutes, you wind up in the comedy category.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. So it's the weirdest thing. But that show, you're right, is the farthest thing from what anyone would call comedy.
So Jeremy Allen White is nominated for lead actor in a comedy series. And he's going up against Martin Short for Only Murders in the Building.
Right. He'd like, why?
Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso.
Like, yeah.
Right? Bill Hader for Barry.
Right. And which then, also is not a comedy.
And then Jason Segel for Shrinking.
Right. Which is,
which is
also not a comedy.
Right? So it's so wild.
Yeah.
So they're talking about the success of The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Allen White on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And talking about how their lives, all the actors on the show, their lives have changed now that they're famous.
I think about you sometimes when I'm at a restaurant because
yeah?
When I go to a restaurant, there's sometimes a lot of pressure because maybe the chef will come out or whatever. And sure. I can't imagine, like, what happens when you go out to eat?
I mean, we're all really lucky. I think, you know, we get taken care of when we go out now. You know, we don't have to order a lot off the menu. It's nice. Folks will bring stuff out. They want us to try stuff.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we get a little too confident. Like in Chicago, I feel like we're good anywhere. We can walk in anywhere. It should be fine. And I was with Io, who plays Sydney on the show.
Oh, she's great.
Chicago recently was amazing.
Yeah.
We're in Chicago shooting the second season, and we go to this steakhouse, Gibson Steakhouse, which is like a really famous steakhouse, really amazing. And we didn't have a reservation. And Io and I go up to the hostess, and we're like, hey, you know, it's us. It's us. We're good, right? And they're like, sorry, do you have a reservation? And we're like, no, but, you know, it's us. Come on. Like, it's an hour and a half wait. We're like, very good. We take a walk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What a shot to the ego, huh?
Yep. That's but that is a double-edged sword, though, because sometimes when you go into places And we've talked about this before where, you know, the chef is like, they want to make a big deal out of it and all this. But sure. Sometimes you just want to order off the menu.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like sometimes you don't want what they want to bring you out. Like sometimes you go into a place and you're like, you know what? I want the chicken salad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what you really want?
You need this like Atlantic salmon.
yeah. But you know, not even Atlantic salmon. Like, you know, like knuckle, right? I'm not in the mood for knuckle, man. Like, that's something I got to plan a couple weeks in advance that we're going to the knuckle place.
Yeah, I got to hit myself up.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Bear is one of our favorite TV shows. You can stream seasons 1 and 2 on Disney right now. Season 1 was nominated for 13 awards, and the cast is gearing up for season 3. Maddie Matheson plays Neil, the hilarious handyman on the show. He's also one of the executive producers. He's also a well-known chef out of Toronto and is partially responsible to make sure everything that happens in the kitchen in The Bear is legit. Maddie Matheson, welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
You know, happy to be here.
There's so much going on with you. Everybody is still so obsessed with The Bear. And I love when I talk to somebody who's discovered it for the first time, like recently, where they're like, man, I finally got around to watching that. And the reaction, like, I get jealous because I can't watch it for the first time again. Like, it's one of those shows. What is it like for you when you meet somebody who sort of just got into it? Are you just like realizing just how special that show is?
I don't know. It's just, you know, making anything and then having people enjoy it. And a lot of people enjoyed it, seems, is just cool. So it's just, you know, we never thought it was going to be what it turned into when we were making it. I'll tell you that much.
What's your conversation like now with the rest of the cast? We already know season 3 of The Bear. Everyone's looking forward to that. But like with the success, the popularity of the show, what are your conversations now with the cast about the show? And I guess like the expectation from fans.
I think we're just grateful. I think we're very lucky. We're all very close friends and, you know, we genuinely like love each other. And I think, our kind of motto is head down and do what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, don't change anything. Don't read anything. Like, don't worry about any of the critiques. Let's just keep making what we're making. And it's usually, you know, season 2 is a pretty natural progression. Season 3 will be a pretty natural progression. And I think we just are closer and better with each other. And I think that shows, you know?
Here's what I worry about for the characters of this show, okay? Is that when good things happen, they don't last long. And it seems like everything ended in a really good spot. And is everybody going to go through hell again? Because they sort of have to go through hell, but I'm really not looking forward to watching that.
I think everyone's going through hell every day, you know? I think that's what the beauty of the show is. I think everyone, like, you know, everything that's happening in the show, it's like, yeah, these things are happening, but I think it's pretty regular, you know? Like, if you were to look at yourself and look at people around you, I'm like, everyone's going through it. That's why the show, I think, connects with so many people. I think every single day people are broken, and it's like, how do we put ourselves together every day, you know? How do we carry on? How do we live our lives? How do we exist?
There are 3 episodes for both seasons that stand out for me. That were extremely stressful watching the episode. And I want to know from you, Maddie Matheson, from The Bear, if these episodes were extremely stressful to shoot. Actually, sorry, 4 episodes. So the one from season 1 when the food orders kept coming in and it was just like chaos in the kitchen. Season 2, there was that episode called Forks.
Yeah.
The season finale and the Christmas episode as well.
I think, to be honest, yes and no, but I just don't think people realize how fun making TV is or how good actors are. Like, I'm blown away. It's, like, less stressful and more, like, I'm just blown away where you're, like, you know, like, this season 1 where the orders are coming in, and, like, that was a oneer, right? Like, we shot that whole thing, so it was, like, kind of like just doing a 20-minute play.
Yeah.
And we only did it, like, 3 times. And, like, what you saw on television was, like, the second take. So it was just, like... that was like 25 minutes of work. And then it was just like, we practiced it like the day before a bunch of times, you know, but like on the day when we shot that, it was 25, we were all home by like noon hanging out, you know, like it was real chill. And then like the Christmas episode was, you know, an amazing experience. There was a lot of obviously huge stars hanging out and acting with us and making the show with us. And I think it was the same thing. Like everyone was so happy to be there and everyone was so nice. And like, except like everyone, you know, when you have these like larger than life characters coming like to your house, like coming on set to like even doing interviews with you guys, it's yeah. just like, you know, like you're so nervous. You're like, are they going to be an or what?
It's okay. Be, that's all good. You're all good.
And then like everyone showed up, and when everyone shows up and they bring like their A game and they're down, you're like, oh, this is amazing. And then you're just like having fun. You're like, oh, Jamie Lee Curtis is like the greatest actress of all time. You're like, amazing.
When it comes to the food, and you know what, it's films and when you're dealing with fiction, oftentimes food is seen as a prop where it doesn't have to be real. It just has to look real. Was that a fight for you?
No, like from day one, we wanted everything to be real. And like we love, shout out to our prop master, like Laura Roper, she's incredible.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, Coco Store, like Coco's like Chris Store is the creator, right? And the director, writer and everything. And then like his sister is a chef, and so she's the culinary producer. So me and Coco work like, you know, day and night on figuring everything out, and Coco executes on the day. From day one, we're like, nah, we're going to make real food. They're going to actually cook everything. Like all the actors, like literally have to cook everything.
Wow.
And so it's just like, if we make it real, then they feel real.
Jeremy Allen White in season two looked like considerably more jacked than he did in season one. And was this like before he had to go and shoot the wrestling movie? And was he just like eating like crazy? Because he had a different body in season two than he did in season one.
We shot it after.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he was coming down off of that.
Is there anything you can tell us about season three? I know you're executive producer on the show. You must have a hand in some of the subject matter for season three. Everyone's such a big fan of The Bear. Maddie Matheson, what can you tell us about it?
You know, there's going to be time travel. There's going to be dinosaurs.
Shut up.
There's going to be a couple lasers.
Maddie Matheson, we love you on the Roz and Mocha Show. We love you on The Bear. You guys are doing, the entire cast and crew, the writers, everyone, you guys are doing such an incredible job. Deserve all the accolades that this show is getting. And we can't thank you enough for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Thank you guys for so much. It was amazing.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kate McKinnon's hosting Saturday Night Live for the very first time.
Oh, yes. How long ago did she leave SNL? Kate McKinnon.
It's probably not as long as you think.
I'm going to guess Kate McKinnon left SNL. I don't know. I think it's been a while. I think she left like 7 years ago.
Really?
Kate McKinnon.
So Adam Driver is doing it, I guess, on the 9th mm-hmm. with Olivia Rodrigo.
Nice.
And Kate McKinnon is hosting on the 16th with Billie Eilish.
Sick. How long ago, Sham?
2022.
What was that?
2022?
That's what I said. Not that long ago. Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Whoops. But I think it feels longer because we went a real long time without any SNL, right? Because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike and all that other stuff. And so I think maybe it feels longer, but my God, that's crazy. Like I thought it was like at least 2020. Like I thought she'd be gone for like 3 years. She hasn't? So she did that. She left and then did the... And
that
then
makes
the,
sense, because I remember her skit, like when she left, when she was going up to space or whatever, felt like...
Forever ago. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, to me it felt like forever ago. Mm. I have no concept of anything, though. I am so forgetful lately. Lately. Bruh. It's just this new thing that started to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called old age.
No, it doesn't go down this road
mean
again.
10 years?
No, that's not what I mean. You need to stop that, man.
We were just talking about Kate McKinnon, Ross.
No, it's
just-
So anyway, so Kate, no, that's not what I wanted to say. Did you get all the people from all their Spotify lists?
I haven't caught up yet
for the day, but yesterday
my
mentions were going bananas
because
all of our amazing fans have been sharing their Spotify rap.
Yeah.
And like a lot of listening minutes to our podcast.
Yeah, I don't get that thing. I don't get my
I can't find mine either. I'm looking at my Spotify.
Did you look? Do you have Spotify, Roz? You have to have Spotify.
Do you know what Spotify is?
I do.
Okay, do you know that it's on your phone? Do you have it on your phone?
I don't know.
Do you know that you have the App Store on your phone? If you go to the App Store, type in Spotify.
Okay.
And then hit the button that says get, and then it'll download, and then you sign into your account. Do you have an account?
For God's
if sakes, not, there's a
guys,
button there that says sign
you
up.
You guys are killing me.
Jamie
right
Crawford
now.
Listened to our show 12,447 minutes. Yeah. I don't know what that sounds long.
It's a lot.
I still don't know how to get it.
I don't know how to get it either. I was really, really trying. That's but then I. Guys, yeah. I can't talk about anything. I can't say anything around you people.
We were talking about
Kate. Oh, shut up.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. A
couple days ago, we were talking about food delivery orders. Because now all the big delivery companies are releasing their year-end trending list
right.
of what was ordered across the country. And Skip the Dishes is the latest to release their top trends list.
Right.
The most expensive order in Canada was $1,259.71 in Quebec, which included 55 sandwiches, 3 pizzas, and 7 orders of poutine. Butter chicken was the top ordered food item this year across the entire country. Wow. Followed by garlic naan.
I sort of get that because I think that when you people have their favorites, right? Pizza, burgers, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that the ones that sort of rise to the top will most likely be the dishes that people are that they love but are least likely to cook at home.
Right. For fear of screwing it up?
People don't make a lot of butter chicken at home.
Yeah.
But facts. They love butter chicken.
Chips were the most ordered groceries.
Are we calling chips groceries now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You can ahead go to the grocery store.
Ahead of milk, bread, and eggs.
Oh, hey, come on now. We did something good this year. We did something good.
For some weird reason, Ontarians ordered more pickles than any other province in 2023.
Oh, gross.
In Alberta, they ordered the most bubble tea. Than Whoa. Any other province. Also, somebody in Alberta spent $921.61 on 36 plates of chicken with 2 salads thrown in on the side.
Wait a second. 36 plates of chicken, but only 2 salads?
Yeah. I guess. Okay. Like, just in case anybody wants salad.
What kind of chicken? Did it say what kind of chicken?
No, it just
doesn't
says
say.
Chicken.
Yeah, no. Just chicken.
Oh, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Might be one of your friends out in BC that did this.
What?
Somebody in BC spent $1,060.50 on 15 bottles of liquor, including 2 bottles of Grey Goose.
Wow.
Wow.
Somebody else in Ontario spent
that's a lot.
$789.50 on 70 tacos, 25 orders of chips with a combination of guac, salsa, and horseradish cream.
Whoa, that's a lot of chips.
Somebody in Manitoba spent $748 on 10 Caesar salads.
How much?
10 Caesar
no,
salads.
How much did they spend?
$748 on 10 Caesar salads, 10 beef ribs,
oh.
3 pickerel, and 3 pasta dishes.
That's a big dinner.
Wow.
And I'll give you top 5 food items ordered nationally. This is through Skip the Dishes, by the way, for their 2023. Butter chicken, garlic naan, miso soup, poutine, and butter naan. I'll just read the rest of the top 10. California roll, onion rings, Caesar salad, chicken wings, and plain naan.
Wow. I think my most expensive order and that I've ever clicked okay on was the night before our wedding. When we had all the family to the hotel
And
we had a thing and I just did everything on Uber and it was a $460 order.
What was that? Like from one place
all from
or
one,
different
all from
spots?
One place, Japanese.
Oh, can you remember what you got?
Oh, just everything. Literally the entire
everything
menu.
On the menu.
The entire menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got everything.
All the noodles, all the rice.
All the sushi.
All the sushi.
No, it was all the sushi, all the sides, all the Everything. Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. It was a lot of food. Ooh. Like a lot of food. But it's understandable. What I don't get is like when somebody just orders, you know, 25 of one thing. Like what chicken. Are you doing with all that chicken?
25 chicken and 2 salads.
What are you doing with all that chicken?
Maybe they made the rice at home.
You don't go to the grocery store and spend $4 on a bag of rice and then be like, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to order $700 of chicken to go with this.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Michael Bublé is on hold, by the way. We're super pumped to talk to him. This time of year, his Christmas album shoots up the charts and the streaming numbers go all the way up. On top of all of that, he's such a great spokesperson for Bublé, which is like huge in our house, by the way. And now he's got his own flavor called Mary Berry Bublé. Michael Bublé, hello. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, Roz. Hey, Mocha. How's it going?
Okay, so Bublé, right? I have to start there because when you first started doing the campaigns with Bublé, I was like, somebody either who was a genius that knew that this was going to work, pitch this in a room, or somebody who was walking in there going, I may get fired for this.
No. You know, I knew when it came. I was sitting in my kitchen. This is no joke. And my sister was beside me visiting. And my manager, Bruce, said, hey, kid, you know, they're talking about this Super Bowl ad for this thing Pepsi's calling. I said, oh, cool. Pepsi's big. I'll do that. And he goes, it's for this thing called Bublé. And my sister heard, and she literally had this Bublé in her hand. I'd never heard of it in my life. And my sister went, oh, my God, I love this stuff. And I was like, okay, Bruce, my sister likes it. And when we got the concept, I actually talked to Seth Meyers because I swear they stole it from him from when I was on Saturday Night Live with John Hamm. And him and I had this great skit that Seth Meyers had written called Hamm and Bublé. John was the proprietor of a shop that sold only the best pork and champagne products. And I think someone in the marketing company was, you know, smart enough to watch SNL. And they were like, this is what it's going to be. And we're going to make fun and Bublé Bublé. And I was like, oh, this is easy. And I thought, man, I'll go and do it. I shot for a couple days and I just got to play it real. Like, I wasn't trying to be funny. You know, he kept saying to me, this isn't called Bublé. It's called Bublé. You know, this is a table. This is an apple. This is a desk. And this is a Bublé. And we laughed our asses off. We thought it was funny. And I said to my manager, that was great. Great Super Bowl ad. We got paid. Let's go. No expectation that like 7 years later, I would own the brand.
How long into those conversations or how long into that relationship did the idea for a Bublé only flavor come about?
This was in the works for a while, but it was honestly, man, it was a really nice gift because we've had, weirdly, now it's been 7 years and I've had like genuinely, you guys know, because you do this, both of you have different like sponsorships or people you work with, whether it's people that put you in your clothes or whatever. And every once in a while it's business, you know? Okay. Yeah. It works for you. It works for me. But it wasn't like that with us. We had this really, really collaborative relationship where they got my humor. They got what I wanted and they liked it. It's nice. I mean, God, this was such a big break for me. giving me this gift of calling it a Bublé, Mary Berry Bublé.
Yeah.
Because no, I have been, I think I have lost more money in Sharpies. my wife always laughs. I'll go to like Costco or I'll go to like the, you know, Safeway or something.
Yeah.
Blah, blahs. And I'll literally be in line. And I'll like take my Sharpie out and I'll start like putting the E on the A on the end of it. And I can tell people like look at me and they'll go like, nah, that's not
him.
Nah.
Yeah. By the way, we're talking to Michael Bublé here on the Roz and Mocha Show. Look out for his own Bublé flavor, Mary Berry Bublé. So are you the one that came up with the flavor or did they?
Actually, yeah, man. Yeah? They let me, you know what? Yes. That was a collaborative too. I got to be part of that. And I think for me, it was like, you know, what would taste best with my whiskey?
Right.
And nice. You know, that's perfect. I like the flavors.
We all know Mariah is the queen of Christmas, but at some point in your career, you sort of slid into that, you know, maybe not king, but definitely prince of the holidays. And
I don't think so, man. I'm not being defensive. You know what? Here's the thing, you guys. I'm a very proud Canadian boy, and I hope you're kind of proud of me sometimes or whatever.
All the time.
It's. I wish I could be the king of like Christmas or the king of the holidays, but I can't because I'm too busy dominating Mother's Day and Valentine's. Okay, and okay, like okay, probably okay. gonna take over freaking Halloween too at some point.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy to just be winning and owning like it's. I feel uncomfortable with it. Okay. Sometimes I think to myself, give
burden.
Other owning, Canadians a chance,
owning,
please.
Owning everything
give
is so
Ryan
overwhelming.
Reynolds a
it's so yes. overwhelming to own everything. You got a beautiful family, and I know that the Canucks are doing great, so that's not on your Christmas list. But what's Christmas like for you guys in the house this year?
Oh, dude, it's so nice that we, you know, I tell people all the time, I love the holidays a lot. My mom and dad made it great for my sisters and I. And a lot of love, a lot of warmth in the house. And now I see it through the eyes of my kids, you know. Yeah. It's something, man. It really is.
Michael Bublé, you are amazing. The bubbly Mary Berry flavor available. Thank you so much for making time for us. Anytime you're
no,
in
are
the
you
city,
kidding me?
Please come back and visit us.
You know what? I'm coming back. I'm bringing the whiskey. And you guys, we need to sit and have a pop together. And we need to talk hockey. Pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Happy holidays to you and your family. And congratulations on everything, bro.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Here we go. Roz and Mocha superfan Kirsten joins us right now. Hello, Kirsten.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so Kirsten, where and when does your hell of a story take place?
Okay, so I went to a pretty big country concert in September, front row in the pit, and during, like, between sets, one of the video techs turned around and hits on me, and, you know, being newly single, I was like, all right, whatever.
Okay, hold on. So you're up close to the stage, and one of the video techs turns around and hits on you. When you say hits on you, what does he say?
Oh, starts flirting with me. So I asked him to charge my phone for me, and he did.
Oh, okay. You start flirting with the video tech at a country music festival because you're right up front, and he seems into you. He charges your phone for you. So far, it sounds like a great meeting. So what happened?
I ended up giving him my phone number. They were there for 3 nights. So I went on the second night, so I was like, what are you doing later? Ended up hanging out with him for the night, had a good night, hit it off, cool. He lives in Nashville, so I was like, oh, perfect. Like, I've been wanting to go. So he's like, yeah, you have a free place to stay. I'm like, amazing. So I'm looking for tickets, and then I find a round
pause,
trip.
Pause, 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 pause. Okay, so when you say that you guys hooked up on that second night and had a great night, does that mean, like, he slept over? Does that mean, like, he went to the hotel? Like, what does that mean?
No, he Ubered an hour to see me.
Okay.
Oh, and he went to your place?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he stayed the night?
Yes.
And then left the next day, and you were like, wow, that was great?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So he lives in Nashville, and you've always wanted to go to Nashville, so you start looking around for airfare.
Yeah, so I find a round trip for $283 Canadian.
Not bad.
I'm like, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I message him. I'm like, do you 100% want me to go? And he's like, yes. I'm like, okay, perfect. Book the flight. And then on Wednesday, I had to go to a funeral. He asked me, like, he told me if it got intense, I could call him, so I go to call him. And when I went to call him, it rang twice and hung up. I was like, oh, that's weird. So when it hung up, I got a text later on that day while I'm at the church, and he goes, hey, police just raided my place.
Oh, what? Okay, hold on a second here.
So what happened?
So I was like, okay, it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of downplayed it. He's like, I might just be in like a bit of trouble. Like, there was somebody that I met on Snapchat or something like that, right? I was like, okay, that's odd. So anyways, I proceeded to still book the trip because he's like, well, it can't like be that bad. We still kept talking every day. Given my trip, I left on Sunday that just passed on the Tuesday
so,
right before that.
Okay. So you have my God, Chris, you just cancel everything at this point. Uh-huh. Okay. So he told you that the police raided his place and they took his phone, but you guys are still messaging. And you're like, okay, well, whatever. Can't be that bad. Game on. I'm still going to go down and hang out with you.
Yeah. He hadn't been arrested or anything at this point. Police had just came and took his stuff. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And then on Tuesday, he goes to silent. I Google his name. in Tennessee, everything's public knowledge.
Yeah.
So he was charged with 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor and aggravated sexual exploitation of a minor, with more charges pending.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what was he like? He was talking to kids on like Snapchat?
16-year-olds, yeah.
Oh my God.
So, given obviously we did not go and see him, but thankfully, because he had mentioned a couple of his coworkers and I knew they would be home those 4 days, I hit them up.
You still went?
What?
Yeah, I got back yesterday.
Kirsten!
I didn't go see him. I stayed on my own.
But still, you went and go hung out with his friends?
Yeah.
Kirsten, what's wrong with you?
Well, they're not friends anymore.
So they all found out too?
Oh, yeah. None of them talk to him anymore. So we bonded over that. So now I got my ticket hookup back too.
Oh, my God.
Your concert ticket hookup?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Kirsten, when you went to Nashville, did you hook up with any of his friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many of them?
Only one. And I'm still talking to him.
How many times?
Oh, he stayed over the one.
Oh, okay. Is this like a good friend of that guy?
Well, no, they just worked together. As soon as the article came out, they all cut him off. Because if you Google his name, it's all there, mugshot, everything.
Oh, okay. And you, this still turned you, like, you, like, okay.
Yo, this is red flag city right here. Yeah. Come on now.
Well, I didn't hang out with him.
Okay,
Kirsten.
Did you not, I gotta know this, just, so that guy, though, he spent the night with you, and you guys had, like, a really good time. Did you, after you found out that he was, like, a predator, did you not feel some kind of way?
Oh, ick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I had tickets to the Nashville Predator game with him that obviously I did not go with him.
Wait a second. You almost went to see the Nashville Predators with a Nashville Predator?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, the multiverse is crashing.
Okay,
Kirsten. Oh, that was one hell of a story.
Jesus, Kirsten.
Thank you for telling it on the Roz and Mocha Show.
No worries. Happy that the cops got the guy. Hope they throw the book at him. Piece of garbage for whatever he did. Glad you're okay, and you know everything worked out for you, and he didn't treat you any sort of way.
Yo,
but
when's your next trip to Nashville? Because I know that you probably already booked.
Oh, we've been talking about it.
Yeah.
I think he's coming here first. So,
well, that is a hell of a story. Glad it all worked out. Glad you're safe.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We're going to talk to Laura McKelligan in a second. She lives in New Hampshire, and she is going viral once again for her Christmas wrapping technique.
So this is the mom that you've probably seen on social where every year she books a hotel room for 2 nights to wrap all the family's Christmas presents. So she brings them all to the hotel, all her wrapping paper, so she can wrap in peace, not be disturbed, do it all right.
Enjoy a glass of wine.
Enjoy.
Maybe some pizza.
Yes. So it's like half break, half efficient, everything else, but it's a brilliant idea. She's pulled it off now 3 years in a row, and people are loving it.
Hi, Laura. It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for joining us today.
When I first saw this, I thought it was a goof, like just like a setup, because I don't believe anything that I see on social media. but then we sort of came to learn that this is actually something you've done multiple years now, right?
Yeah. This year will be the third year.
Okay. And how does your family feel about this?
You know what? I didn't really ask.
After all this time? Hold on a second, Laura. After all this time, after the millions upon millions of views your videos have been getting, millions and millions of comments from supporters of this, you have not had a conversation with your family about leaving for a weekend to stay in a hotel to wrap Christmas presents?
Not really. No, the video... Okay. The video a little bit, but I think they try and keep me humble, you know. No, I think they're okay with it. It sounds like everyone's good.
So this sounds like it was something that came out of necessity. So what was your sort of gift wrapping process and situation before you decided to book yourself into a hotel for 2 nights every year to wrap all the Christmas presents?
I think it was a lot like most parents. You hide everything you can. For us, it was in the closet, and then trying to wrap in our house and not make a noise while the kids are sleeping or whatever it is. I don't know. My back is hurting when I'm sitting on the floor trying to do it. It's all the things that it was just, I don't think it was a need that I had to go to a hotel room, but it was definitely a want. and it worked out.
So when did the idea come about? Like, you're obviously thinking, okay, I need to change up the game plan. Let me check into a hotel. This is a good idea. Like, at what point did you come to that realization?
It wasn't while I was rapping. It was December, you know, 3 years ago. I just thought, man, I could get away. Maybe I should make an excuse of wrapping gifts. And then it turned into, like, this is actually a good idea. And when I talked to my husband about it, I said, hey, I was thinking about renting a, you know, booking a room for a night, but I actually think two nights would be best. So I have the whole day. I can wrap, get everything done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he kind of gave me the look of, are you serious right now?
That seems like a lot of time to wrap presents.
It is. I think I take a little time to not wrap. And,
yeah.
Based on the videos we've seen on TikTok, you're sitting back drinking, eating some junk food. But you know what, girl? You deserve it. So since all of this has gone viral, and you said this is now year three of doing the two-night check-in in a hotel so you could get away from your family and be able to wrap presents in peace, have you heard from other families, other moms, other dads who have said that they've adopted kind of the same thing, that you've influenced them?
Heard a lot of people say, I want to do this. I haven't necessarily had anyone say I'm doing it or I have done it. So we'll see what happens this year with it going a little wild.
The first thought I had was there's a sort of logistical nightmare to all of this, which is the great idea is you now going on your third year, booking a hotel room for two nights to wrap all the family's Christmas presents. But the logistical part of this is you have to get all of those out of the house into a vehicle to the hotel, into the room, and then now that they're wrapped, you got to get those all out of the room, back into the house, obviously with nobody seeing you.
Yeah, and I'm going to revert back to two nights by yourself in a hotel. I think it's worth it.
Especially when you're staying in that room that's got two beds, and by the end of it, all the presents are piled up on one bed while you're chilling on the other bed, enjoying a drink, looking at all the work.
Exactly.
What if your husband next year says, hey, babe, why don't I do the hotel for two nights this year?
I would die laughing.
Because, you know, you'd probably look at the football schedule and be like, okay, these big games are on this weekend. That's why he picked it.
Nothing's getting wrapped that weekend.
He would probably hire someone to wrap everything while he enjoyed the hotel.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Laura, that's great. Really quick before we let you go, do you always check into the same hotel every year?
Nope. I just try and find restaurants that have, hotels with good restaurants nearby.
Right.
So I don't know what it will do this year, but I'm kind of poking around.
What was your room service bill last year?
It was not $1 million.
But it was pretty up there.
I will say it wasn't too bad. Room service wasn't too bad, but I did splurge a little for sure.
Yeah, you deserve it, girl. You deserve it. Laura, thank you so much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show. You are the one that you've gone viral now, and this is your third year heading out to a hotel for two nights so you can wrap Christmas presents in peace. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care. Bye bye. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This theme song always brings me so much joy. One of my favorite shows in the entire world, The Office.
Agreed.
Still watch episodes every now and then on Netflix. Well, today, Roz, very excited about. It's an anniversary for The Office.
Uh-oh.
Of one of the shows. One of the episodes, sorry.
Which one?
The convict episode.
Oh, yes.
Prison Mike.
It was today, 17 years ago, that season 3, episode 9 premiered on television and quickly became a fan favorite. And the reason why I bring up Prison Mike is because there's like a couple of things that I learned recently about that episode. So a couple things. Ricky Gervais, who starred and created the British version.
Yeah.
I found out that Ricky Gervais wrote, or he along with others, wrote this particular episode for The American Office. The only other episode for the entire series Ricky Gervais wrote for was the pilot episode because it was a direct take from the UK episode. BJ Novak, who played Ryan on the show, along with Paul Lieberstein, who played Toby, and Mindy Kaling, who played Kelly, they're writers on the show, and they are the ones that came up with the name Prison Mike because they were talking about the concept, and one of them like threw out the name, Paul Lieberstein just like threw out the name in passing,
yeah.
And then at the end of the conversation, BJ Novak was like, why don't we just call him Prison Mike? Right. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And in the deleted scenes, if you have like the Peacock Network in the States, they have like all deleted scenes for all the episodes.
Really?
And they recorded and deleted a talking head, an interview with Michael Scott, talking about where his inspiration for coming up with various characters, okay, like Prison Mike.
Okay.
So this is a deleted scene where he's talking about his inspiration, but then also references where the character Prison Mike came from before appearing in the episode that we all know and love called The Convict.
When I was just a little kid, we had an assembly at school where a giant owl came out and gave a very impassioned speech about giving hoots and not polluting. And you know what? I never polluted again. It was right then that I realized the power of saying things as a character. People listen to you when you are wearing an elaborate costume or speaking in a voice that is not yours. I came up with Prison Mike during improv class, and I was doing a scene. These two college kids would not stop talking, so I became Prison Mike. And I said, hey, shut up, or I'll stab you twos. And they never said anything to me again.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So now we all know the story of Prison Mike and how he became that guy who then went on to go in on everyone in the conference room. Because if you haven't seen the episode, I assume everyone saw the episode.
Multiple times.
Dunder Mifflin, you find out that they hired a ex-con. They're getting a tax credit for hiring an ex-con. That ex-con came from a different location, the Stanford location. And then that ex-con was like being asked about prison, talking about, yo, it's not so bad. Like we had this, we did this, we had this kind of freedom, whatever. And they were like, oh man, prison sounds like more fun than working here at Dunder Mifflin. Michael Scott was just like not having any of it, pulled everyone into the conference room.
All right, everybody, there has been a lot of name calling against our office today. Corporate maligning, slurring, much of it coming from one of you who claims that prison is better than here. And none of us can say boo because none of us have ever been to prison. Well, there's somebody I'd like you to meet. Somebody else who has been to prison who can tell you what it is really like. I'm Prison Mike! You know why they call me Prison Mike?
Do you really expect us to believe you're somebody else?
Do you really expect me to not push you up against the wall?
Oh, wow.
All right, hey, that's just the way we talk in the clink. Been a lot of fun talk about prison today. But I am here to scare you straight. I am here to scare you straight!
Such a brilliant scene. Oh, anyway, today is the
17th year. Hearing any of that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Impossible. You got to go watch that office.
Impossible.
Man.
We've talked about this episode before.
I've never heard him where it came from. I never heard. No. That's amazing.
So today is the 17-year anniversary.
Wow.
Since the debut of season 3, episode 9 of The Office, Prison Mike. If you get a chance, maybe today is the day that you go back, relive, re-enjoy that episode.
The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they'd come down, and they'd suck the soul out of your body, and it hurt.
Dementors like in Harry Potter?
No, not Harry Potter.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Michelle. It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Before we continue, we got to set this off right.
Does your job suck?
Yeah.
Does it make you hurl?
Yeah.
Roz and Mocha's worst job in the world.
Ugh. Man, I quit.
So good.
Michelle, welcome to Roz and Mocha's worst job in the world.
Thank you.
We just get people from the audience who claim that they have the worst job in the world. And we have a leaderboard right now that has, I believe, 8 names on it so far in the top 10. We'll just tell you right now, Matthew is sitting at number 1. And Matthew is a trauma cleaner. So he's part of the crew that goes in and cleans up after quote unquote trauma. You can only imagine what that is.
Yeah.
Ray is sitting at number 2. He cleans up after squatters. Ugh. And then in at number 3 is Guy, who is a nightclub security and once had somebody's colostomy bag thrown right at his chest. So a lot of people who clean stuff, a lot of people who are protecting stuff. Michelle, what is your job and why do you feel that it's the worst job in the world?
I am a Subway janitor.
Okay. What have you seen?
We've had in the middle of rush hour, somebody pull their pants down and diarrhea all over the wall.
Okay.
All over the wall?
Yeah.
On the wall.
Okay.
So I have to clean that. We've had people go up the escalators pooing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All those little grooves?
Yeah. We have pee. They pee all the time. They vomit. We have overdoses, a lot of overdoses and needles we have to clean up. We've had a guy in the holding cell that took the most biggest poo you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get rid of the smell for 3 days after cleaning this.
What do you mean the holding cell?
It's just a cell for people that they catch until the cops come and pick them up.
Oh my God.
Does every subway station have a holding cell?
Not every subway station, more the big subway stations, I guess, where the constables and stuff are.
No idea.
Yeah, so we have cells where they go in.
Usually just like one person, or would you find like you go there to put someone there in the holding cell and there's, you know, a couple of people sitting there?
Yeah, there could be more than one. There's 2 or 3 cells in there. So, yeah.
How long's your shift?
It's 8.5 hours.
8.5 hours.
And do you
generally take a lunch?
I do, but a lot of times we do get called out.
I just wonder, like, how you do that and then look at your watch and go, oh, got to go have my lunch now.
Yeah, my leftover spaghetti from last night.
Like, I don't know how you eat.
You start to get, it's sad to say, but you get used to it because now at lunch we talk about it and
about
what we cleaned. Yes, and everybody has their story of, oh my God, the biggest poo they cleaned up today.
Today? Okay, so here's a question, Michelle. So this is the worst job in the world, right? You're a janitor for the subway, and you get the calls to go and clean up after some things happen.
Yes.
When you get a call, when you're, you know, the walkie-talkie goes off or your phone goes off, do they tell you what you were going to clean up?
No,
or do they just say, okay, so it's a big surprise.
Oh, yes. Damn.
They just say unsanitary. So when it says unsanitary, you don't know what you're really walking into until you get there.
Okay, right. And you're just preparing for the worst.
Yeah, it could be blood. It could be poo, puke, pee. And it's daily, nonstop through the whole day.
So you clean poo every day off like a wall, right?
The floors. Yeah, floors, elevators.
My God. Okay.
Elevator, that's the worst because then you're stuck trapped in there cleaning that and smelling it.
So I will say this, Michelle. There's been a lot of people who have called up to say that they have the worst job in the world. But in reality, what it is they have a job where they have the potential to have really bad days, right?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a consistent part of your job. That's why the nightclub security guard isn't number one. He had a couple really horrific days, but it's not his job day in, day out. I would say, Michelle.
I know where I would place Michelle on the list.
Okay, because right now Matthew is a trauma cleaner and his job is literally 100% doing what you do, only every call he gets is a body or a part of a body.
Yes.
So
Can I tell you where I think Michelle needs to go on the list?
Michelle, can we put you on hold for 1 sec, love?
Sure.
Okay, Mocha and I have to conference here. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Hold on 1 second, love. To me, she's number two.
I agree.
You do?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Number two. Yeah. Everyone agrees. Number two. Right? Yeah, everyone says. Maria says, Shem says, Maury says. Okay,
I would say number two, yeah.
That was quick.
Hey, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. We've decided that you are now, as Michelle, the woman who does custodial work on the subway system, cleaning up walls and walls of diarrhea on a daily basis. Yes. Michelle, you are currently sitting at number two on Roz and Mocha's worst job in the world.
Yeah.
You can't escape number two, Michelle.
I know, I can't. Yes.
You can't escape number two. You do have a terrible job, and I'll tell you, you know what sounds even the worst part of all?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're really good at it.
Actually, I am.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Hey. Congratulations, Michelle.
That's a terrible thing to have to get good at.
I know. It's true.
Yeah. All right, Michelle.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Wow. The top three shook up.
Yeah. If you think you have the worst job in the world and you would like to share with us and everyone that listens to the Roz and Mocha Show, feel free to text us at 925-555.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello?
Yo, it's Roz and Mocha.
Yes. Wow.
What the hell's going on, man?
I work for a sheet metal factory.
Oh, you're working for sheet metal.
Hold on 1 second. 1 second. Hello.
Oh, my God. Bro.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you inside the sheet metal right now? Are you like surrounded by it?
I was. I'm in the washroom now.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is Simi.
Talk right in the bottom of your phone. Stop moving around. Stop messing around.
Oh, no. You're getting Roz mad already. And this is supposed to be a congratulatory call.
Oh.
Simi texted and said, I'm headed into work right now. Simi is obviously at work now.
Yeah.
And he said, proposing today. Wish me luck.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh?
Don't do it on your phone.
Wait, are you proposing to somebody at work?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have it all planned out. It's all happening after work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where are you doing it?
At my mom's house.
At your mom? I mean, that's cool.
No, it's just because I know my girl. She wants it to be intimate. So that's all. Intimate. My mom's not around right now. She flew back home. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
So it's just like the two of you then?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, you were thinking that an intimate proposal would be you, your girl, and your mom.
Come on, Roz.
Bro. Okay.
So you got it all planned out. How long has this been in the works for?
6 months.
Wow.
Okay. So you got the ring. You got everything set out. Have you been
ready?
Yeah.
My sister helped me decorate the house.
Did you know what kind of ring she would be into, or did you just go and find
she
one?
She selected her ring.
She did.
When we started dating, she showed me exactly what she wanted when we started talking about if we were going to get married.
That's presumptuous.
That's why I knew when I met her exactly what I wanted. So.
Aw, buddy, that's so nice. What are you making that face, Roz?
I don't know. I don't know, dude.
So here's the one thing that we always hear from women when they say that their guy proposed, right? And I want to know, did you already talk to your girl today?
No.
Okay. The one thing that women say is something that told them that something was off. They always say that the guy was acting weird that day. Like they weren't acting themselves. They weren't as talkative, or they were being a little too jittery or too nervous. Have you been that way today? I guess you haven't talked to your girl yet.
Okay, so I knew that I would be. So I told her I've planned a big surprise for this weekend. So she thought I've been nervous for the weekend.
But you told her you're planning a big surprise for the weekend?
Yes. So she knows, like, because I can't hide anything from her. So she's like, okay, there's a surprise happening this weekend.
Bro, she could be pissed that you're doing it today, because I bet you, in her mind, she's like, okay, yo, Friday, I'm going to go get my hair done. I'm going to get my nails done and everything.
Why didn't you?
You see, I already thought about that, Mocha. I got her best friend today taking her to get her nails and hair done and everything at 1 p.m.
Bro, she knows she's being proposed to this weekend. This ain't a secret.
This weekend, but not today.
So your secret is that it's happening today and not 2 days from now?
Because, Rob, the guy I am, I would have told her last month when I got the ring. The day I got the ring, I got the football.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we'll follow up after the proposal.
Do you know, wait.
And we want to talk to your girl.
Yeah.
To find out if she could sense anything was off.
Okay. 100%.
Do you know what you're going to say yet before we let you go?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. 100%.
Oh, somebody just walked in the bathroom. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I got to poop. Yeah. Get out of here, Simi. All right, dog. We're going to follow up with you, okay?
100%.
All right, okay. Buddy. Good luck. You got this. Don't be
Thank you very much. Don't
be nervous today, okay?
I hopefully won't be. I already know exactly what I'm going to say, and I've been thinking about it for a month now. So
okay, perfect. Brother. Okay, congratulations, and good luck with everything, Holmes.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Simi, hello. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hello.
Yo, Simi. Oh, my God. The last time we talked to you, Simi, right off the bat, we had problems. You were having problems with your phone.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Simi, welcome back to the Roz and Mocha Show. We talked to you the other day. You were preparing to propose to your girlfriend at your mother's house. Your mother wasn't going to be home, and you had this big, elaborate thing set up for your girlfriend. She suspected that you were going to propose at some point over the weekend, so to throw her off, you were like, no, I'm going to do it a couple of days beforehand, right?
That's right.
Talk us through. How did it go?
Exactly as I planned it.
Which was?
I had a friend all day, like, keep her company and take a day. And getting nails done.
Okay, hold on. Is she there? Is she there right now?
Right beside me.
Okay, yeah. Let us talk to her real quick.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Heather. It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Congratulations, by the way. We assume you said yes.
Yeah, I definitely said
yes. All right. Congratulations, Simi and Heather. Okay, so when we talked to Simi the last time, the day that he was going to propose to you, we had asked him if he thought that he had been acting weird that day. Because anytime we talk to a woman who'd been proposed to, she always says to us, yeah, of course, the guy was being weird. He was acting nervous. He was a little out of character. Like, she knew. Did you suspect at all during proposal day that something was up?
Definitely.
Yeah? What made you suspicious?
Just the way everyone's trying to convince me of where I should go. Like, my mom told me I should go. My friend told me I should go.
Like, go get your nails done and your hair done and everything?
Yeah. And go out for dinner. Like, you should go out for dinner.
Yeah, something is up because it's a weekday and I don't normally do this kind of stuff. And Simi never, like, really planned something like this. And everyone's going in on trying to get me to do all this stuff.
No, but it was kind of nice to get spoiled.
So you walk into the place and what happens?
There's heart petals everywhere, like rose petals everywhere in the shape of a heart. Aww. There's a mirror, me, sun, candles. Like, it was very nice.
That's sweet.
Hold on here. I have, Simi sent us the video of the proposal. Let me just play it real quick. So here's Simi walking in to the place. There's music playing. Oh, this is so nice.
You still got your winter coat on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm cold.
So at this point, you're standing there and Simi is like mucking around. Bro, like, do we get on this video Simi saying what he wants to say? So, bro, you take...
I've never heard one. You made me the happiest man I've ever imagined to be. Throw up and down with your arguments.
Okay, it's kind of hard to hear because you got the music blasting like it's a nightclub, bro. So, Heather, can you take us back to what was it that Simi said before he put the ring on your finger?
He told me, like, from the second he met me, he knew it was meant to be. And no matter what we've been through, like, trials and tribulations, everything was meant to be. And... oh, it was very sweet.
And then you embrace, you kiss, everything's great. And then who else, like, who was there filming? There looked like three people in the condo, in the place.
My best friend was there, Jimmy, his dad and his sister.
Okay. And then did everyone, like, get the hell out to give you guys a moment? Or you all, like, hung out for the rest of the night?
No, we went out afterwards. Like, we left afterwards. We had some time.
Well, that's amazing. Simi and Heather, congratulations. Glad Simi didn't screw it up. Even though you were suspicious that something was going to happen, Heather.
Yeah, even if I was suspicious, it was all worth it.
Of course.
Everyone's going to be suspicious.
Congratulations. Love you guys lots.
Thank Thank you. I love you too.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.